Well, while we're on the topic of cable news, let's shift gears slightly and talk about the coverage last Thursday night of the airstrikes in Syria. It was the first military action of the new administration and gave us some, well, interesting insights, like this clip from MSNBC. Take a listen to Brian Williams.
We see these beautiful pictures at night from the decks of these two U.S. Navy vessels in the Eastern Mediterranean. I am tempted to quote the great Leonard Cohen, "I'm guided by the beauty of our weapons." And they are beautiful pictures of fearsome armaments.
I'm sorry, it's just bizarre to me. How does anybody describe the bombing of somebody else's country as beautiful?
I don't know. I heard that.
I mean, has Brian Williams learned nothing?
Yeah, I actually heard that live, and I'm sitting there on my couch and listening to him, and I'm going like, what are you talking about? Just tell us what's going on. Don't give us all this other stuff.
Well, I mean, it's too clever by half, but it's indicative of how a lot of journalists, and not just TV journalists, mm-hmm. responded to this. You know, it's basically, oh, now he's being presidential, mm-hmm. finally, for the first time,
yeah.
by bombing an airfield before, but he gave warning to the Russians, and who gave warning to the Syrians, so nobody was there. Right. You know, he changed his foreign policy overnight. Is that being presidential? I don't know. Meanwhile, you have the media who've been in Trump's camp all along, the Breitbarts and the alt-right media all of a sudden are attacking him.
Yeah. Right.
Like, you said America first, and that means isolationism and staying out of foreign wars, and Here you are turning your backs on us. It was pretty ironic to see the change on both sides.
It was the whole thing was weird, because when I initially saw it, and they broke into a network mm-hmm.
programming
to put this up, and I was, at that time, I was at the gym, and I'm on the machine, and I look up, and it goes special report, and I go like, oh boy, this can't be good. You know, and it comes on, and you have this sort of, I won't say it was glowing, but it was almost as if, you know, as you said, Mike, everything changed in the way in which they viewed.
It was a monumental shift.
The president. Yeah. And it's sort of like, but wait a minute. At 5:30, before this happened, you know, he was, you know, president not knowing what he was supposed to be doing, and he's all over the place. And now, all of a sudden, he's the president. You know, and it was just the weirdest thing.
And here's the thing. The media coverage feeds a narrative that the White House wants to make. Now, I'm not saying the president wasn't influenced by seeing those dead and dying children. He may have been.
Right.
He may have made the right decision. That's for other people to decide. But clearly, the White House is taking advantage of the way the media is covering this. So we had an example of his son, Eric Trump, coming out and saying, this proves that my dad doesn't have any kind of nefarious relationship with the Russians, because if he did, he wouldn't have bombed Syria.
So, yeah, but he told him first. He was coming. So I've got a problem.
Well,
so I don't know.
I don't know.
Well,
don't know.
There were still some questions about this at yesterday's White House press briefing.
We didn't use chemical weapons in World War II. You know, you had someone as despicable as Hitler, who didn't even sink to using chemical weapons. So you have to, if you're Russia, ask yourself, is this a country that you and a regime that you want to align yourself with?
Thanks. I just want to give you the opportunity to clarify something you said that seems to be gaining some traction right now. Quote, Hitler didn't even sink to the level of using chemical weapons. What did you mean by that?
I think when you come to sarin gas, there was no, he was not using the gas on his own people the same way that Assad is doing. I mean, there was clearly, I understand your point. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. There was not in the, he brought him into to the Holocaust Center. I understand that. What I'm saying, in the way that Assad used them, where he went into towns, dropped them down to innocent into the middle of towns, it was brought to it. So the use of it, I appreciate the clarification there. That was not the intent.
Intent or not, that clarification was almost worse than what he said in the first place. What was it he was attempting to say? Because I still can't figure it out.
Well, so James Mattis, the defense secretary, made a similar argument, but was much more clear about it, I think, earlier in the day at a news conference, where he said, basically, even the Nazis didn't use chemical weapons in the battlefield, okay? And if he had said that, it still would have been questionable, but he wasn't trying to say that, well, gassing your own citizens, you know, in death camps.
Well, I'm sorry, German Jews were still Germans.
They were.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's, to me, it's one of those things where, you know, this is the third time I've watched it, and he should have just stopped. and collected his thoughts and then went on. But the more he kept trying to talk his way out of it, the deeper he got into it. Yeah. And he didn't have his facts straight. He wasn't clear about what he was saying, and it made it worse.
And not a good position for a presidential press secretary, but as soon as he kind of realized the hole he was getting into, he lost his language. Holocaust centers?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And then to say that, you know, that they didn't use sarin. Well, the Nazis invented sarin. So, you know, the whole thing just sort of, the mistakes multiplied the more he kept talking.
And, I mean, I do think, I mean, it was painful to watch. It was inappropriate to say. All the things that we would agree on. I think Sean Spicer, if he didn't have the relationship with the press corps, the strained relationship that he has now by trying to defend a president who's done some very controversial things in the first 80, 90 days, maybe the press corps would have given him a little break, or there would have been some way to try to walk that back. But he doesn't, nobody's going to give him the third strike.
I mean, I agree with you, Mike, but they actually gave him an opportunity to clarify.
You see that
she
in the
gave
video.
Him
she,
an opportunity yeah. to clarify.
And he thanked her for the opportunity and then stepped into
then
it further.
Exactly.
To make the timing of this even worse, it happens on the first full day of Passover. And it also, this isn't the first time he made that equally egregious misstep when making a statement about World Holocaust Day, not having any kind of a statement including the Jews in that. Does he survive this? Does he have a job at the end of the day, at the end of the week?
I don't know. But one of the things that we do know, because President Trump has said this, is that he, above everything else, he wants loyalty. And Spicer is loyal to him. And as long as he sees him as a benefit and being loyal to him, I think he's going to stay. But it's starting to multiply. And that's going to be a problem.
Well, and the thing is, the president says he wants loyalty above all else, but the question is, what kind of loyalty does he give back? Look at what happened. I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but look what's happening to Steve Bannon this week. Basically, if he gets in a fight with Jared Kushner, the only person that Trump seems to be, you know, loyal to is his family.
No, I agree with you on that point.